Welcome into another edition of the Stripe Show podcast. It is Froggy Wednesdays, and today I am honored to have 13-time PGA Tour winner, top 20 at one time in all four majors, by the way, Rocco Mediate. Did you know that, Rocco?
I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that.
You did. You finished top 20 in every major.
Well, that's good.
But I think the one everybody always wants to talk about, and I'm sure you have told the story a million times if you've told it once,
right?
Is that 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, that was fun. That's they're playing again this week there. And yeah, you remember that. That was one of the coolest things ever happened, really. It was fun.
Just, you know, it's one of those times that as a sports fan, it's one of those, do you remember where you were when? And I remember where I was. I remember that day. I remember being extremely nervous. I remember every single thing about that golf tournament. I remember where I was that Sunday night, where I was standing in my house when he made that putt
right
on 18 to force the playoff. And I'll never forget, you said, I knew he'd make it.
Yeah, well, you have to figure he's going to make it, especially when he's putting it. Anybody else? Not so much.
I mean, were you surprised at all?
No. Absolutely not. No. I would have been surprised if he missed it.
You know what? You're right. Exactly. Because it was during that run. And I read something just yesterday that I wrote down because it is so shocking. It says that from August of 07 through the 2008 U.S. Open, Tiger played 11 times worldwide. Mm-hmm. He won 8 of those. He finished 2nd in 2 of the others and 5th in the other 3.
Yeah. It's not bad, really, when you think about it.
Right. You're right. So 1,227 opposing players in those combined fields, only 7 people beat him.
Mm-hmm.
That's some pretty good company, Rocco.
Yeah, he was something. It was just one of those things that doesn't happen. You know, National Open in front of the world, Torrey against him. What else you want?
Going into that week, mm-hmm. Did you have any idea at all that you were playing good enough to contend for a title?
Always when I went to Opens, I felt like I was good enough to do something, whether win or not is a different story, but to do something and play good. I always drove straight. And it's fairly important at Opens, although some lately haven't been important. This week at Torrey, it will be important. But I always felt like I could drive in a lot of the fairway. So distance didn't matter because U.S. Opens usually are firm, so I get what I needed on the ground.
So you could get a lot of roll out.
I get a little roll on the ground and fairways mean distance in Opens, period.
And then your wedge game and putting game was good enough to hang with anybody.
Yeah. Especially pitching. Yes, absolutely pitching. But yeah, it's just one of those tournaments that it takes certain things to win. But the great players can do things that you're not supposed to do. That's why right. They are the great players. And I try to keep reiterating that when I'm talking about this stuff is, the reason they're great players is because they did things or do things that we didn't. Simple as that. And they did it multiple times, not just one or one here, one there, lots of them. If you look back through history, there's only a handful. Handful, I mean like 10, 15 people that did things like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back and watch, and I've watched every special there is on that 2008 U.S. Open, mm-hmm. When you see the putts he made a lot of putts that, you know, if he went back and had to make those again, he wouldn't make them.
Well, no, of course not. No, he did things that you don't. But that throughout the week of a major or any tournament for that matter, things like that happen. You make a 40-footer. He happened to make a bunch of big putts on Saturday. Saturday. Pitched in on 17 on Saturday. Ball was going 30 feet. He was gone. But that's what happens when you contend. And sometimes, not all the time, but most of the times you do something funny in any event, crazy, that gets you to the winner's circle. Could be the first day. Could be the last day.
Now, did you have some putts or some chips or some things that went your way that week that got you there?
Oh, I'm sure I did, but I didn't have anything weird, anything funny happen. Like, I didn't hole anything out. I don't think I pitched in any. I just played solid, tee to green solid stuff. So nothing really special, but it was just consistency, which was special.
Now, did you know at that time, or did any of us know, because I don't remember, it was 13 years ago. Did you know at the time that he was injured, that there was something wrong?
Well, yeah. Well, all week they were talking about it. So obviously something was wrong. But Monday, the playoff day, he didn't show anything because that's what. I mean, not that it would have mattered if he showed anything. You know what I mean? Right. It's like people say, well, if he'd have showed a weakness, what? Weakness? Right. This guy, I mean, he would have crawled around to finish. There's no weakness.
Right.
And we as players, and I've gone through back stuff, not now, but in the early, 20 years ago or so, you figure a way to get in, somehow. Sometimes your body goes, no, you don't get to do this. So you have to figure something else out. Well, that's part of the being a professional. And
right, he did.
No doubt in my mind that he would be ready to roll on Monday, no matter how he felt or what was going on. So that never entered my mind.
Now, do you remember that night, the Sunday night into Monday morning? Did you sleep well? Were you nervous? Yeah. What's going through your mind?
I was nervous because I wanted to go play. I wanted to get there and go play. I wasn't like daunting nervous. I was like, let's get this thing going here. And I couldn't wait till 9 o'clock.
Now, did the outfit, did you plan? Because obviously when you go, your scripting is there for 4 days.
Yeah, but I don't script outfits. And
you don't.
No. I just kind of.
Did you plan the red and black on Monday?
No, I just had a red shirt left. Had no other thought about it. No other. A lot of people said, "Would you do that to get in his head?" I'm like, "Yeah, that'll get in his head. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, sure. That'll make a difference to what I'm wearing on him." But no, I never even thought about the Sunday red because he wears red on Sunday. This was Monday.
Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Improve your golf swing today. Pro level launch data in the palm of your hand. It is very accurate, within 2% of a $20,000 unit. The Rapsodo MLM app automatically tracks stats and stores video with Shot Tracer, helpful for club gapping and understanding true distances for each club. Rapsodo MLM provides immediate feedback data and creates a better practice environment, not mindlessly hitting balls. Extremely portable, cases about the size of a rangefinder. And you know what? You can use it both indoors and outdoors. I love this launch monitor. It's the Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Check it out at rapsodo.com, rapsodo.com, rapsodo.com.
Right.
I don't know what to say.
And you went 91 holes with arguably the greatest golfer of all time. Definitely the greatest golfer of the current era, but arguably the greatest of all time.
Agreed.
Toe to toe.
Yeah. See, that wasn't. I just talked a little bit earlier to a buddy from Pittsburgh here about it in the newspaper. I'm like, I enjoyed playing with Tiger. I like the chaos he brought. I like chaos. I mean, I like noise. I liked all the stuff that came with playing with Tiger on the last day anywhere. I loved it. So I was looking forward to seeing what would happen. I wasn't like, going, oh my God, how am I going to deal with this tomorrow? No, I'm going against, I had to drive fairways and greens. That's all I was thinking about. And he can't stop me from doing that. Nobody can, only I can. So that's my outlook on whoever I'm playing with. Didn't care who it was. Loved that it was him though. Because
did.
National Open, basically his hometown almost.
Right.
The world's watching, nowhere to hide. Let's go. Let's see what we got. And that's how I felt Sunday night and Monday all day.
And so, I mean, after 9 holes, he's up by 3. And I think most of the world thought, well, we're just the back 9 was a formality. But you came charging back on the back 9. I don't remember if it was 10, 11, 12, but whatever that par 3 is.
Yeah, what happened? I handed him 9 and 10 on a platter. I three-putted 9, and I didn't get up and down from 25 feet on 10. He made a beautiful par putt on 10 from about 20 feet, and I missed a 5-footer, and I go 3 down, and I'm like, God, I was so mad.
Right.
I told Matthew, I said, if I do what I know I can do these last 8 holes, he's not going to beat me today. He's not beat me today. And Matthew kind of looked at me like, okay. All right, what? And then it was on. I'm like, all right. Then I hit a perfect 4 on 11, picked one up. Beautiful drive and a hybrid on 12, picked one up.
Right.
Up and down to the bunker on 13, tied. 14, pitched it stiff for birdie, picked another one up. All of a sudden, now we even.
Right.
And I wasn't surprised at all on what I was doing. And then 15... I hit a pretty 5-iron in there, made a putt. He hit a beautiful shot out of the fairway bunker on 9, 50 yards off center line. He had a drive.
Right.
Hit it. One of the most unbelievable shots you'll ever see out of the fairway bunker to inside mine. I make it. He misses. I'm one up. Here we go.
Right.
So it's where I wanted to be. I didn't walk to 16 going, uh-oh, what do I do now?
Right.
I birdied 16. We're done here. And I hit a pretty good looking shot. Just didn't quite go far enough. But I was ready to go. I wasn't like, I was nervous. I was really nervous. But that's what you want.
Right. Nervous means you care.
No, absolutely. I was really like, but I had it in control. It seemed like I did. I mean, you know, there's chaos up here too.
Right.
And it's just a matter of managing it. Like, but you know, the amazing thing going back to Tiger for a second is how many times he handled that. You know what I mean? I've been in contention a few times. I was close at Southern Hills in 01 at the US Open, close at Pinehurst in 05 at the US Open. So several, three or four times in my career, I was kind of there, you know, close.
Right.
Well, he does that. He did that all the time. That's the great player thing I'm talking about. He managed that stuff since he was a kid. U.S. amateurs, U.S. juniors, U.S. opens, master, all that stuff. It's remarkable to me. Remarkable.
Could you tell that he was comfortable as much as one could be in that arena that day?
Well, neither. We were comfortable, but you're never comfortable. You know, you felt for some shots, you felt crappy over other shots. It just depended on the situation, but you know, having that shot and knowing that if I just could play like I know I can play, this is going to be a game today. This isn't going to be like he's going to get destroyed because he's 45 years old and the millionth ranked player in the world. I didn't get to the Monday by accident.
Right.
I got the Monday because I outplayed everybody but him.
But him. Yeah.
I had that in here going, okay, now it's just him.
Because it was close to being a three-man playoff, correct? Wasn't Lee Westwood really close to being in there?
Yeah, he had about a 12-footer on the last.
On the last to get in there, and he didn't make it.
No, he left it short.
And had you been paired with Tiger before that day? So you had played with him many times. You had been in that circus before.
The circus I was in that kind of set me free as a player was in 99 at the Phoenix Open. I had him the last two rounds, the same group, and I won the golf tournament.
Wow.
Complete and utter chaos at Phoenix. Remember that tournament?
Right, absolutely.
It's chaos. It's insanity. I don't even know if you should call it a golf tournament anymore, but it is. And with him there, the chaos goes to 10 times, 100 times. So I knew I could handle the U.S. Open as far as being with him. And I loved playing with him. I loved playing with that guy because he was the best. I was not. I wanted to see what I could do against the best. Why wouldn't you?
Right. So you felt like the previous rounds you had played with him prepared you for that Monday round and what it was going to be like.
100%. Yeah. Total gentleman, total sports person, total respect. You know, I knew what I was going to get from him, and that was excellent. So I had to be better that day.
Right. But
Tiger, you know, back then, you know, if we all play Tiger 10 days in a row, it's probably going to beat you 9. But
there's always that one.
Exactly. And I had that one day 9 years earlier at Phoenix, 2 days actually.
Right.
So my point is I knew that I could do what I needed to do, especially on an open course. And, you know, I kind of did. It's just he's better. So I don't know what else to say.
Right. Where are you at as we're talking to you? Your backyard's gorgeous.
No, I'm at my buddy's house, Jeff Dyer, and, just outside of Pittsburgh. And tomorrow I'll be up at Laurel Valley. I'll be at Greensburg Country Club tomorrow practicing in Laurel Valley around this week sometime.
Right. Have you been back to Torrey since that day? Have you played the golf course since that day?
The next year, I believe I played the Farmers. I think I played in 09. Then I played in 13, but I was hurt. And I played one round. I actually played the South course that year. I shot like 72 or 3, which was awesome for me. I was 51 at the time. And then I was just beat up. I hurt my hip or something. I don't know what happened. Couldn't play the next day. I couldn't even swing the next day, but that's the last time I was there. But I remember it like it was yesterday. So
when you walked off the 91st hole that day, obviously there's a lot of disappointment because you don't win.
Right.
But was there also some, I just hung with arguably the greatest of all time. I gave him all he could handle.
No, I did give him that. There's no question about that, but I just treated it as an opportunity to go against the best and win the biggest tournament, the most coveted thing I wanted ever in golf. A lot of stupid ass comments were made. Well, he's got nothing to lose. Really? Nothing to lose? Really? Right. What are you talking about? Don't be an idiot. Don't say stupid shit like that. It still drives me crazy that I've heard that over the years. But yeah, I had everything to lose, the U.S. Open. And so did he.
Right. So
a lot of people could say, well, you had nothing to lose. He's already won a couple. No, he had everything to lose. We both did. That what we wanted the most was another. Well, I wanted a major championship. He wanted another.
Right.
Okay. So those comments were horseshit. And it was just one of those things where I get to have that memory forever. The feelings, the thoughts, the looks that he gave me and that I gave him were just not, they were great. It was all gentleman stuff. It was great. We talked.
Oh, absolutely.
Not a lot. We talked a little bit. I didn't go out of my way to talk. You know, you're going to out talk him? No, I'm just going to be myself.
I just read my mind. That was my next question.
Yeah, I didn't go out of my way to bother. I mean, I can tell when whoever I'm playing with doesn't want bothered, and I don't bother him. I talk to Matthew. I talk to the people in the crowd. I talk to myself. Doesn't matter. So it was just another day to where it was one of the coolest times ever. And it's never going to happen again because for some reason they decided that the U.S. Open isn't important enough for an 18-hole playoff.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sports book, but also America's top-rated sports book. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors in nearly limitless ways to get in on all the actions. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. Place a pre-tournament wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if Bryson DeChambeau sinks a birdie this week. That's 100-1 odds on Bryson hitting a birdie during the tournament. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often. So sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all the actions. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. So you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Travis when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if Bryson sinks a birdie this weekend. That's code Travis to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbooks. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Don't know why, but
which is ridiculous because that was arguably, as a golf fan, one of the greatest. I mean, to me, I still believe in my lifetime of the U.S. Opens I've watched, that's the greatest U.S. Open of my lifetime. To see what we saw is, and then, like I said, you gave him every single thing he could handle.
There's nothing left. I mean, that 4 days and then the fifth day. See, now you play two holes and whoop-de-doo. It's great. Right. It's a trophy. But you had to sleep on it. And I think every major should be an 18-hole playoff, not just U.S. Open, because they're the most important events, period. So I don't, you know, TV, well, we got to do it for TV. Piss on TV. Okay, seriously. It's our national open. It's the PGA Championship. It's Augusta National. It's the British Open. It should go another day. Sorry. Should go. But it's not going to happen. It's over. They don't care what I say. But you still get the trophy. You still played the best, no matter if it's a three-hole playoff. I mean, I obviously respect that, but I don't think it's right.
Right. Now, how many more years did you get exempt by finishing T2 that day, or finishing second?
Just the next year.
Oh, that's it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't get any. Second. You know, did you get in the U.S. Open forever? No. I got in next year because top 10 get invited. I'm not sure. I don't remember what the numbers are. But no, I got exactly what I deserved. I get an exemption here, exemption there, and that's all you really get. But
as you know, you said, you know, when you walk on the first tee, you shake hands, you say hello, and you start playing. As you're walking down the fairway, when you do have conversations, what are those conversations about?
Oh, just whatever the day, or I'll look at all the people. You know, I don't remember all the stuff we really talked about, but you know, it was just a good, I don't know, God, it's just a great, great time.
I loved some of the looks you guys gave. I remember when you were making the comeback on the back nine there, you gave some looks after making some miraculous shots, and rightfully so.
Yeah, it's just what you want. You want to perform under the most intensive situations. That's what you practice for. And that was by far the most intensive situations, for sure. There's nothing else you can really say about it. It's just, and he was, It was just awesome. I don't know what else to say. It was just a
looking back, and maybe you've already told us what it is, but as you sit here and think about it 13 years ago, what is your greatest or most favorite memory from that week?
I would say just the way I handled that, the whole week in the playoff. But basically at the end, you know, I went over and he put his hand out and I said no, and I gave him a hug, which probably shocked him a little bit. And all he said was great fight. I mean, what else can you say?
Right.
It really was. I got knocked out, but it went the distance, by really the distance. And we actually played an extra round in a fight terms, but that's all you need from that. And when I won at Phoenix in 99, and I'd been out for a few years because of back surgery, you know what he said to me? He goes, good to see you back, Rock. See, I know, and he lost that one.
Right. Okay,
he won the U.S. Open one, and he said basically, you know, great fight. And it was true. It was a great fight. And we're trying to kill each other out there, but the respect is stupid. Really good.
And it's crazy to think that since that day, 13 years ago, he's only won one more major.
Yeah, he's been hurt. He'd have won 10 if he was healthy.
I agree with you 100%. Did you watch that 2019 Masters?
Of course I did. I everyone goes, did you think he would do it? I said, yeah, about 5 years before that. You're not talking about a normal player here. You know, all we hope for now is that he's okay to be a person, play with his kid. You know, if he plays golf, fantastic. But who cares? He's already entertained us his whole life. Now he can't walk by himself or whatever, and he's all messed up. Yeah, if he plays golf, super. But if he can hang with his kids and be normal, we'll call that whatever you want to call that, with the number one athlete in the world, that'd be cool. That's what I'd hope for him.
Yeah, that's all that's important right now. But that 2019 was something I never thought we'd see.
Again, don't put it past this kid.
No, oh, absolutely not. And that's the thing. You know, he was written off so many times.
Oh, my God. But I kept laughing, going, who do you think you're talking about here? We're not talking about anybody else but him. So, please, don't put him in the same genre as anybody playing the game today. Anybody. It's not even the same sport.
Yeah, and the media is so close to always go, oh, the next Tiger. Oh, he's doing what Tiger did. I just...
Not even close.
I don't think we'll ever see one.
No, you're not seeing one now. There's nobody out there even in the same game that he played. Not one person. Name one.
No, I...
There's not.
I agree.
He never said anything. He just played. These guys like to talk. It's pretty funny.
And so, speaking of guys that talk, I got to get your take on the Brooks Bryson dust up argument. Whatever you want to call it, I do think there's a part of it that's good because it's got people talking about golf. But what do you make of what's going on?
It's petty bullshit. I don't know either. I love Bryson. I love what he's doing. Brooks just seems like he's pissed off at everybody. I don't know him at all. It is a respectful sport. At least it used to be. So I don't know. I really don't know what they're trying to do, whether it's the social media crap that they're all pulling off or whatever it is, but just play and let your clubs talk. Be quiet.
Right. You
know, Bryson's just reacting to what he's getting. See, so if I was me, I'd react too.
Yeah, and I mean, Bryson has completely changed the game. I mean, Rory McIlroy has admitted that he's chased speed because of what he saw Bryson do at last year's U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And we spoke to Paul Tesori, Webb Simpson's caddy, earlier in the week, and he explained how they've made some changes with the rough this year. They've graduated in it. Instead of it graduating as you go further off the fairway, it's now graduating as you get closer to the green. The rough is longer, trying to stop the bombers and make it a golf course for guys hitting fairways.
Yeah, hit the fairways. There's no favorites this week. The guy who hits the most fairways will have most of a chance, and that's what it should be in the U.S. Open. The guys that complain about the rough being too high should need to go somewhere else this week. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. I love watching these kids play. I really do. It'd be cool to see somebody. It's hard to drive straight 320 yards. Let's just say a guy drives 270 in the air.
Right. Okay?
Which is beautiful. I'd take 270 in the air, Torrey, right this week.
Me too.
But the guy drives 300, 320 in the air and hits it offline, his ball's in trouble. Guy drives 270, hits it offline, not so much. Not that you need to hit it 270. My point is, the further you drive it, the more difficult the dispersion control is. You got to give him that. See, people say, well, he can't drive. Well, he's hitting it 340 yards, man. It's hard to hit it in a 27-yard wide space. But in the U.S. Open, it demands you to.
So this week does not favor the Bombers.
Absolutely. It shouldn't. Hope it doesn't. Hope it doesn't. Now, if the Bomber is hitting straight, yes, it favors the Bomber.
And then rightfully so. He's hitting it straight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
And who you know, I know you said this week doesn't favor anybody, but is there anybody you like this week? Is there somebody you think is in play? Because, like, I was looking at the odds earlier this week when we spoke to Paul Tesori, Webb's caddy, and Webb's only 13 guys have better odds than Webb, and Webb's not a long hitter by any means, it's a straight.
Don't need to be long to win this golf tournament. Think about it. In 08, I was in probably the lower half of the field, way lower half of the field in distance. Tiger was number one in distance. We tied. So don't tell me distance matters in this case. Webb Simpson hits it plenty far enough to win a U.S. Open. He's already done it. But he also hits it straight. So right. Wouldn't surprise me. In fact, I wasn't thinking about Webb because you have so many people. But a guy like that, that can drive straight, he's won one already. I don't know. It's going to be tough to beat guys that drive in those fairways. It is.
Now, what about shots around the green? What are the key shots around the green guys are going to need this week?
You're in 4-inch high Kikuyu. Good luck. It's like a Brillo pad. So you got to have speed. You got to have talent out of that stuff. And you got to know how, and they'll all figure it out. These are the best players on earth. So they'll figure it out. But doing it and figuring it out are two different things, because sometimes you can't do it on the lies. They're just, you can't do anything with it. Hit it 15 feet.
That's it. Now, are these greens POA?
Yeah, seaside stuff. Yeah, all POA.
So that'll be it obviously rolls different in the afternoon than it does in the morning, correct?
That's not a big deal.
It's not.
If you don't like Poe, don't play Torrey Pines at US Open. You're not. It's real simple. But it's just a good test. Reese did a good job on the redesign. And, you know, if guys don't like it, then they shouldn't go play. I mean, it's going to take some good playing. You know, around par, I'd guess. I mean, around par or win. That's what's supposed to win opens. But now right. I hear like it is, I don't know. Rick Smith texted me today. He's who I've worked with for 30 some years. He goes, man, this place is hard. I went, perfect.
Good.
Maybe we'll have a real, no, not that they're have, maybe we'll have a true U.S. Open champion who can drive his ball in the fairway.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy watching PGA Tour events when guys are 18, 19, 20 under, but at the same time, I want to see some hard golf.
Yeah. I want to see the guy what Bryson did last year at Olympic was remarkable. You know, there's an art to playing out of rough. He showed it to you. There's also, he's so big and strong that he had shorter clubs into the rough because everybody hit in the rough at Wingfoot. But right. He was stronger and longer, beat him. Right. So that could happen to Torrey, but it's going to be harder, I think. I think it is harder. It's just harder. I'm looking forward to seeing how the boys do. It'll be fun to watch.
Now, I do want to congratulate you on your 2016 Senior PGA Championship win. And how often are you playing on the Champions Tour now?
20 some weeks a year. Yeah, same as I played PGA Tour.
Same. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So what's your schedule looking like moving forward?
Next week we're at Firestone for one of our majors, the Players' Championship. And then week off or so, then the U.S. Open, our U.S. Open.
Your U.S. Open.
Omaha Country Club. Great. Perry Maxwell Golf Course.
Good deal. Yeah. Well, Rocco, I'll never, ever forget that 2008 U.S. Open. You and
it was fun.
Tiger Woods gave us some amazing entertainment, something that the other night I turned on Golf Channel. I was just thumbing through the TV, and I stopped on it, and here it is. I've watched the golf tournament. I know who wins. I know exactly how it happened, and I still watched it.
Yeah, I always say, every time they have the replay, I still lose. It's ridiculous. I've lost 4 million times. But, you know, bottom line is, let's just hope the Tiger's okay. It'd be great to hear from him. I wish I could talk to him and, you know, he could say something and how he's doing, but it's nobody's business. But let's just hope he's okay and he gets to come back as a normal, I can't say normal, and enjoy normal things. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Because he plays golf again, super. Play with
his normals, but his, you know, seeing what he's taught Charlie, his kid looks like he's got an amazing golf swing, and the future's bright for him too, but the pressure is going to be unreal.
It could be, but if he has his dad's head, it'll be fine.
Really?
Oh yeah. His dad knew what to do. He didn't care. He just did it.
He was able to tune it out like nobody else.
He was the best that was at it, ever.
I mean, to see those crowds and to see the way people handled it, and nothing seemed to bother him, whether it did or not, we'll never know.
Never knew.
Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. Well, Rocco, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, and good luck to you moving forward. And excited to watch Torrey this week, and hopefully we'll get a good golf tournament, not some just bomber's paradise with blowing it past everybody, but to watch guys win.
Good, but I'm going to enjoy watching. Take care.
Good deal, Rocco. Thank you so much. Have a great one.
All right, buddy. You too.
Yeah, buddy. Bye-bye.
I just want to interrupt this interview real quick and give a shout out to my friends over at Encore Golf. Encore provides some of the most cutting edge technology in a golf ball that I have ever seen. Their team in Buffalo, New York is changing the script of golf technology through their perimeter weighted designs, which offer players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course. With their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show.